lots of talk, lots of discussion over the last number of days in relation to Budget 2023 and in relation to what will be done in terms of cost of living, and particularly regards to those who are on social welfare, including job seekers. Now, the prospect of €15 increases to weekly welfare payments fades as a headline or a subheadline in this morning's Irish Times. Budget 2023, the welfare budget set to be boosted by one-off measures, according to the newspaper. And this regards, I suppose, the one-off increments the government can do instead of across-the-board payments in terms of job seekers. Lots of you have been getting in touch with us over the last couple of days with regards to your views on job seekers and your views on the amount of money that should be given to people on social welfare. Well, to get his perspective from the Irish National Organisation of the Unemployed, I'm joined on the line now by Breed O'Brien, Head of Policy and Media with the INOU. Breed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
It's all yet to be played and yet to be decided. There's discussions and maybe disagreements between the parties that form the coalition currently running the country. Fine Gael wanting things to hold fast, saying now's not the time to increase job seekers. The Greens and Fianna Fáil saying that yes, now is the time to try and help people who are on job seekers because of the inflationary pressures that they are under. What's the INOU's position this morning? What you hope happens for Budget 2023 in this area?
Well, basically what we are seeking, along with other organisations working on these issues, is a €20 increase. We feel, but judging based on the work done by the Vincentian Partnership for Social Justice, the great work that they've done around establishing a minimum essential standard of living, in order for people to be able to stand still, a €20 increase is required. So we feel it's really important that we ensure that people are not left struggling. Looking for work is a job in itself. And I think one of the things that the level, they set the pandemic unemployment payment at a particularly high level because it was introduced to address a health crisis. But what the clear lesson from it is that once the labour market reopened, the numbers on it dropped dramatically and people went back to work. And we can see its positive effect in terms of poverty when you look at the poverty stats. The at-risk of poverty rate for people unemployed in the most recent figures was 23%. Without the COVID-19 pandemic supports, that would have been 44%. And that's a much, much higher than the overall national figure. So it really is important that we ensure that people who are trying to manage on a welfare payment are not left struggling even more, because then it makes it very difficult for people to plan and address other challenges in their life.
Okay. How do you address then, notwithstanding all that, the views from within, I suppose, the Fine Gael party, most notably Regina Doherty, the Fine Gael leader in the Shannon, who's predicted there will be a significant increase in the social welfare budget this year, but she's cautioning the government needs to make sure that work still pays. I definitely know there are people who are telling us, and this isn't anecdotal, there are people who are telling us that it doesn't pay them to go to work because they would lose so much of what they're already on. That should never, ever be the case. Absolutely, going to work should always pay you better than living on the interim measures the state gives you while you're not working. There should never be a case where going to work actually costs somebody money, and we're getting very, very close to that right now.
But again, I think that like we hear this regularly, and we were discussing it yesterday in the office. This is not a new issue. This comes up on a regular basis. And one colleague remembered we had a member of our National Executive Committee, a gentleman who was unemployed. And at the time, a particular well-known street in Dublin said they could find no workers. So off he went with his CV and he went into every shop that had in its window staff wanted. He heard back from nobody at all. And that's not, I mean, that's an anecdote now from a few years back. But that is an experience a lot of people who have been longer-term unemployed have. Work that the CSO has done around the experience of discrimination in the labour market. The group, when it comes to access to employment, that are often top the list, and it's not a list you want to top, are those who have been unemployed. So a period of unemployment definitely has an impact on people's employment prospects. And a lot of employers often won't entertain or give an unemployed person an opportunity to get a job. There are, for anybody who is claiming only for themselves, unless the work on offer is very uncertain, and that unfortunately is the nature of some of the work that's out there. People don't know from one week to the next what their income is likely to be. So an inadequate social welfare payment, at least you know what your money is going to be from one week to the next. But if it's any kind of a reasonable job, somebody just claiming for themselves should be better off. Now, there are challenges then for people around transport, and if people have children, there can be challenges around childcare and trying to find accessible and affordable childcare. For those with families, there are some in-work supports, like the working family payment. And one of the mechanisms that we feel that they could really make a difference on is ensuring that people are given timely information and support access those supports, so that when they make that transfer from welfare to work, they get access to those supports.
Yeah, but isn't that already?
It is. But the problem, Jerry, is that there's gaps.
Yeah. There are specific programs targeted at long-term unemployed people to get them back in. There are schemes to get them back in, so at least you're coming off some level of semi-employment to improve your prospects then, to get around that problem you're talking about there of employers not willing to take you on because you've been on the live register for too long. That's the issue. That's already being addressed, and that there is an issue.
It isn't, Jerry, to be honest with you, because unfortunately some of the interventions, there's a serious body of work to be done to convince employers outside of my own sector that some of those interventions work. We can see they work, that they make a big difference to people's health and well-being. People get involved. They get involved often in work in my own sector, in the community and voluntary sector. But there's a challenge to get employers in the wider sector to value that work and to see that the skills and knowledge that people pick up is of value to them and the type of organisation that they
I'm not
that
saying it's
run.
Not the case. I'm sure it certainly is the case that, you know, there would be some prejudices
but there
on behalf
practical
of employers.
Support.
There's a lot
there's
of people out there desperate
support.
For employees at the moment. Absolutely desperate for employees at the moment. And they're looking around, and some of them, I saw them on social media yesterday, are saying, mother of God, €15 increase in job seekers at a time when I'm screaming out for somebody to come and do a day's work. What's your response to those people, or those reactions when this debate comes up?
Well, basically, when you look at the numbers of people in Kerry who are on the live register, now it's important to bear in mind that not everybody in the live register is receiving a payment. Some people sign on for credits to keep themselves in the system so that when they come to their pension age, that doesn't go against them. So when you look at the numbers of people on the live register, they are lower than they were in July 2018, slightly higher than they were in July 2019. Now, the previous two Julys, because of COVID, are
hard to judge.
Slightly different.
It's down around 10% in the last year and the latest figures.
So again, our unemployment rate is now down to 4.2%. So we have more people employed than historically we've had. So we have a challenge around, kind of trying to match people who are seeking workers and those who are seeking work. And we need a public employment service that is available to everybody. Unfortunately, since the Department of Social Protection kind of has gone in under their remit, it's very much a lot of it, they have designed it around one particular payment rather than all payments, and in particular people who are in receipt of no payment. It's a big issue for the individual members of our organisation. People are unemployed and not in receipt of a payment. There's no support to find work. So again, we have those challenges that we need to address. And then there are those when people have that concern that I will be worse off. In many cases, people won't be with the supports that are in the system. People are often not aware of them, or the logistics of accessing them are such that they're a discouragement. There is a payment that's there that often the department don't inform people of. It's called payment pending wages, and it's to support people who maybe are going from a weekly welfare payment, have no other income, and maybe the job that they've been offered is either fortnightly wage or monthly wage, to help people to get over that gap. We feel that's an important practical support, relatively low cost, and it could make a big difference. And likewise, the working family payment, the logistics, the times of trying to access it are such, it's not helpful. So again, there are supports there, but people aren't often informed about them, or informed about them when they should be. If we could get those kind of logistics right, that could make a very big difference.
And that might take money. I mean, where does the INOU stand on the idea that, like, putting on the 15 euro or the 20 euros you're looking for in terms of the job seekers or other social welfare, that adds to current spending? Whereas if you put more money perhaps maybe into the services side of things, whether it's reducing childcare costs or providing, you know, better services that people wouldn't have to spend their own money on accessing service, that that might be the way to go instead through the cost of living package.
We need both. In order to address the poverty that people are experiencing who are trying to manage in social welfare payments, we need to ensure people are in receipt of an adequate income to meet a minimal essential standard of living. And then we need then to ensure that services and supports that people need are in place. I think another clear lesson from COVID was the value of public services. They are often run down, belittled, but yet I think during COVID it became very clear how important and essential those services are. So we need to get that right as well. We need to ensure that for people who have children who wish to work outside of the home, that there is affordable childcare in place so that they can do that.
And we'll see what the government come up with in terms of what they're going to do on that package. Breed, final point, do you think that you'll be successful? The headlines or the direction of, let's say, the speculation around this seems to be going in the opposite way, that it won't even be 15 euro, that it'll be a more targeted package of cost of living benefits instead of an overall payment of 15 or 20 euro like you're looking for.
I'm always optimistic, Gerry, but I think I'm under no doubt that there's a serious challenge facing us. And targeted measures can be very welcome for those who are in particularly difficult circumstances. But for a lot of people who are on a welfare payment, a lot of people are single. And so some of those targeted measures then will probably be of little assistance to them, depending on what they are. So again, I do feel it is really important that they improve the social welfare rate, and that they really do try and ensure that it affords people to be able to meet a minimal essential standard of living.
All right, there you go. Okay, Breed, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us in the programme and giving us your perspective. We'll see what happens when Budget 2023 comes out in September. That's Breed O'Brien there, Head of Policy and Communications for the INOU. With their view, they want 20 euro increase in job seekers, but also want other issues like better activation programmes, more information for employers, more information for people on how to access them as well, to try and get them off the labour register and into employment. If you have a view for us on that, get in touch. A listener gets in touch, says, regarding bus services in your discussion this morning, a Dingle listener says a bus he was on this morning was full and the bus driver had to leave people waiting on the side of the road as there wasn't enough room for them. He says it's not fair on people waiting for the bus or the bus driver. Where I suppose we're at that time of the year when there is a lot of demand on capacity, that's for sure, with all the tourists and, again, refugee situation as well in the county, and people looking to do their business, their A to B, every Friday morning. Hi, Jerry. We here in Southwest Kerry area are very happy with the bus service provided by Local Link in Kerry. That comes in from Tony in Waterville. But that's the argument, I suppose, that Robert Beasley is making, that Local Link need to be taken on to increase the bus service between Ballybunion and Listowel and Ballybunion and Tralee.